Well, I don't know about you, but when I travel to other distant places, be it in this country or even in this state or outside of this country, one of the things I always look forward to is the new food experiences that I'm going to have. Liz Wessel is back with us today. She's the owner of Green Concierge Travel. It's a Wisconsin-based and green-focused travel company. She also works with a partnership for the National Trail System. She's been active on many boards and committees, including the Sierra Club. So it's great to have her back to talk about food tourism. And certainly we'll love to hear from you as we move along today. We'll talk about food travel with her and about some tours. Have you traveled to experience food and drink in some area and want to tell us about it? I hope you do. I hope you'll give us a call. The number is 1-800-642-1234. And you can email us as well. The email address, ideas@wpr.org. And Liz Wessel, welcome back.
Well, thank you for having me again.
Great to have you here. Before we talk about food travel, first, tell us about your company, Green Concierge Travel.
Well, I started the company because nobody seemed to be doing the kind of travel that I really like to do, which is feeling like a local, finding authentic experiences, not necessarily doing tours, but just kind of booking my own way around a place. And food has always been part of that. So it's interesting that now it's become a lot more formalized, and they actually have a name for it and an association worldwide. And so it's become a big deal.
So food tourism.
Yep, that's what it's called. I think it really emerged as a real travel industry area around 2006. I mean, the association was formed in around 2001, but I think that's about when it happened. And 17% of Americans were traveling for food in 2007, and now we're talking about 95% of Americans have had a food travel experience. So,
how's it different? How's food travel different from regular travel?
Well, I think you're really focused on finding an experience at a location or destination that gives you a sense of the place and a sense of culture of that place. So you're looking for, it's not just going out for a meal and satisfying your hunger. It's really trying to experience that local culture or maybe a food ingredient that comes from that area. So obviously in Wisconsin, we have a lot of cheese. You might be looking for a cheese experience here.
Who is the food tourist then? What motivates them to travel with cuisine in mind?
I think it's everyone now. I mean, Basically the statistics are showing that everybody is out having some sort of experience when they're traveling with the local cuisine or culture. And, you know, almost as recently as I was just traveling in Los Angeles and walked around the corner to the local coffee shop, and it was a local guy doing Italian cuisine, but all his ingredients were local. He baked everything inside, and this was just off the radar. You know, it's that kind of experience that gets me excited about going to a place.
Talking today with Liz Wessel, the owner of Green Concierge Travel. It's a Wisconsin-based green-focused travel company. Great to talk with her about food tourism today. And maybe you've got some experiences to share or questions to ask. I hope you'll join in. Give a call at 1-800-642-1234 or email us at ideas@wpr.org. Can you give me an example or two of food tours that... You know, one is Wisconsin Public Radio has one, as a matter of fact.
Yeah, I just noticed in the sitting room, you're offering a San Antonio and New Orleans cuisine and culture tour. So I think that's a great example where food tourism goes from very organized tours with a leader and you get a guide and that kind of stuff to the individual traveler who may say want to go to San Antonio, but then wants to build experiences around that destination. So you may go to they have an awesome museum there. You may go there, then go out and find some really local food or take a walking tour where they're going to some of these eateries and meeting the chefs, meeting the people who actually make the ingredients. So
That would be really cool to be able to meet the chefs and talk with them and him or her about what they do and how they do it. As a person who organizes some of this, how do you research this? You just go and...
Yeah, I think it's a lot of just digging around and also reading materials. I read a lot of... My email on food tourism has leapt in the last 3 years. I'm getting at least 2 or 3 emails a day on food tours from Italy to Costa Rica to wherever. So it's really happening. One of the funny experiences, I just wanted to raise another one. It could be as simple as in San Francisco, you can go to Chinatown and it's kind of out of the way, but you can actually go to the fortune cookie factory where they make the fortune cookies. You can watch the ladies who are, you know, they're who knows how old they are, and all the children are there and they fold the cookies by hand. And then you can buy a bag of seconds if you want to just buy a bunch of fortune cookies, or you can buy the first. I had no idea they had different flavors, but they do. But it's in this little alley in Chinatown, and it's finding the little gems like that that really make your experience in a location.
So if you've had an experience on a tour, I hope you will join in and let us know about it at 800-642-1234. Is it best to do this with professional help? Can you do it on your own? Can you design your own vacation yourself?
You definitely can do it on your own. I love the tours go everything from a day walking tour, which could be an hour or two, to a 7-day culinary experience in Italy where you may be cooking, you may be going to the market, you may be foraging for ingredients. But what you can do is you can do it yourself too. And it's just that description I just gave you about the fortune cookie. Or, my husband and I knew that crab was in season in San Francisco. And so what we did was we bought a fresh crab and then we took it out to Golden Gate Park with some wine and some other things and just had our own food experience right there with extremely fresh crab. It was just fun.
That sounds wonderful, actually. I like that idea a lot. Well, let's go to Mike in Pewaukee. Mike, hi. Thanks for calling.
Thank you for having me. We recently got back from Havana, Cuba about a week ago. And we had a great experience with some of the local food. It took us about 4 days to figure out what the locals were eating and drinking, but we finally figured it out, and we were able to get some fresh juice and kind of a local pizza for about 75 cents. And then we also found these juice boxes that actually have rum in them that a lot of locals would drink, and it's called Plan Chow. So we really we didn't take an organized tour. We just kind of were in the city for 4 days and kind of figured things out on our own and really enjoyed it.
What about the food? Was there a particular sandwich or a particular meal that stands out in your mind?
Kind of the typical ham and cheese sandwich. We found late one night a couple of locals invited us to stop for a beer and a ham and cheese, so that was great, and a lot of fresh fruit juices as well.
Yeah, the fruit juices... are appealing to me as well. Comment, Liz?
Yeah, the one thing I was thinking when you said Cuba, I know a couple who were departing for Cuba yesterday, and they were doing kind of a food and bird watching tour. But I was just thinking that one of the sort of things that people may get cautious about when it's a different language. And so you land in a place where maybe you don't understand the menu that well. So one of the things you can do is definitely ask people, but a lot of us have done that before, is look at a dish next to us and say, I think I want that. And, sometimes that's the best way to just take that first step of experimenting with some different food, or if there's a language issue where you can't read the menu and, so you can go with it, yeah.
Mike, thanks a lot. I'm glad you had a great trip and appreciate your call very much. Yeah, I was thinking about sometimes when I go into a restaurant, I'll kind of look around and see what the other plates look like of the people who are already dining. And sometimes I will make a decision. I'll say, what that woman or that guy is having at that table? Yeah. I might ask, what is that? And, or, you know, describe that for me, and then I will go ahead and order it. Or sometimes I will just say, I'd like that, that particular dish, mm-hmm. and we go from there.
Right. Yeah, another good resource that occurs to me is guides like Lonely Planet, where they have a bit of a language dictionary in the back, and often they will have the keywords for important foods, local foods that you may want to try. So you can always use your guidebooks. And then, of course, a lot of us have the net now. So.
I was thinking about a friend of mine, this is years ago, and he was, he and his wife were in Paris, and he couldn't speak French at all, but he had this French book, and he's there in a restaurant, and he goes, I want to get some red dinner wine. So he looks it up, and he pronounces it, he says, Dein Wein Rouge, and the waiter looks at him really strange, and so he said, of course, I just say it louder, which we are sometimes want to do. And he said, I finally just showed him the book and pointed at it, and he said, ah, Divi Rouge. So sometimes it helps if you could just point at what you're trying to get across. Wow. Talking today with Liz Wessel. Sorry, Glenn Broom, for telling that story on you. Liz Wessel is the owner of Green Concierge Travel. It's a Wisconsin-based green-focused traveling company. She works with the partnerships for the National Trail System as well, and many active on many boards and committees, including the Sierra Club. Maybe you've got an experience to share, a travel experience that might involve food. I hope you'll join in. Did you like it? Did you not like it? Give us a call. The number is 1-800-642-1234. Email us at ideas@wpr.org. I'm Larry Mueller, and you, my friend, are listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Thanks for joining us today on the Ideas Network. Larry Mueller here with my guest, Liz Wessel. In the studio with me, she owns Green Concierge Travel. It's a Wisconsin-based and green-focused travel company. She also works with the partnership of the National Trails System. And great to have her along as we talk about food tourism today. Where have you traveled to experience food and drink? Across town? Right here in Wisconsin, around the world. Love to hear from you. Give us a call at 1-800-642-1234. Email us at ideas@wpr.org. And let's take a call. Jim in Sturgeon Bay will give you a chance to join in. Hi there, Jim.
Hey, good morning. I had had the opportunity. I was a chef finishing up a position in Minnesota and had some about 3 months before I went down to the Cayman Islands to a different position, and I had the opportunity to travel Europe, and I landed in Amsterdam and then meandered my way through Eurorail to Italy, to the island of Capri, and settling in for the evening, found a little ristorante and had a nice bowl of pasta and was looking around and all the colorful parrots and posters of parrots, and I asked the maitre d' what the name of the restaurant was, because it wasn't obvious, and they had said it was the parrot, the Papagallo, and it just turned out to be the same name of the restaurant I was going to work at in the Cayman Islands.
Ah.
And I thought that was an interesting coincidence.
Oh, great story, Jim. Thanks a lot for calling. This is kind of one of the neat things about travel and experiences like that. Sometimes you find, wow, that's a coincidence I didn't see coming, or that's something I didn't see coming.
a little synchronicity there.
Yeah, for sure. Thank you so much. Helen in Little Chute has something for us, too. Hi, Helen.
Hi. Do you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, very good. I'm a Finnish American, and my husband and I went to Helsinki a few years back, and this was my husband's first trip to Europe, and he had culture shock. I had been there several times, and we were touring Helsinki. I was showing him all the various sites, and he was very grumpy. So we went into a restaurant, and the menu was all in Finnish, and I ordered porthan guljaksen, which is a very delicious pork dish. Well, I had said to him, by the way, we're happily married over 40 years. I had said to him, please apologize for being so grumpy. You've insulted me. He wouldn't apologize. So I had my meal delivered, and he watched me eat. He went up to the cashier trying to figure out the menu, and all he could understand was Pepsi. So he bought a Pepsi, and he came back to the table, and he drank his Pepsi and watched me eat. And then he apologized, and so then I ordered him a meal. But he's been telling this story to everybody forever. And by the way, he loved Finland so much he wanted to move there.
Great story.
To begin with, he had culture shock. So that's my food story.
A good story. You know, that's kind of, as I think about Helen's story, it is kind of one of the reasons maybe that people want to do a food tour from another country with a different language, that if you have, you're signed up with an official tour, let's say, right. You know, for example, WPR's food tour, you sort of have that ordering and all that business, kind of, you get a lot of help.
Yeah, there's a bit of an entree there, if you will, into the eating. And yeah, I think if you are going to an area where the language is very, very different and there's not a lot of Europe, there tends to be a fair amount of English spoken now. Yeah. So you're not as cut off as and in fact, when we went to Greece, we were amazed that the second language in Greece, I couldn't read Greek, you know, if I tried, but the second language there was literally English, all the road signs. Even the menus often printed in the second language, English, because that was the common denominator for Europe. So
yeah.
It's often helpful. But I would do a tour if I knew I was going, you know, someplace like Asia where I have very little, you know, language ability.
You know, here we are talking about Europe and other places, but Wisconsin, I think, is maybe poised to take advantage of this whole business.
Well, I think the exciting thing for Wisconsin is, and as we all know, many of us are food tourists in our backyard, if you will. We'll go across town to the new, you know, brewery or the new restaurant that's serving something new. And we all know we have a fabulous farmers markets and local farmers. Campo di Bella is a place I've been to down by Blue Mounds. Wonderful experience on a farm. They serve their meals right out of their garden and what's growing on their farm. Just a lovely romantic evening down there. So I think we have all the ingredients to make a really amazing food tourism destination, not just for us locals, but I think we could be bringing in some of these other people who want to experience what's Wisconsin food really like. And it's changed a lot.
Yeah. What do we need to do to make that happen?
You know, I think it's building the connections, certainly the marketing part, building in trips where you actually combine some of these maybe bed and breakfasts on a farm with a tour of a dairy. I mean, it's all there, but it's not, you know, some of those people don't have the time or the money to make that happen. So it could be all built up through different things. It could be, you know, Dane County decides to take on local tourism, food tourism, and builds it out, or the state, you know.
And here we are known for, I mean, we have such a reputation for our cheeses, for example.
Right. Great cheeses, and we're winning world awards for our cheeses.
Yeah, so. World championships. I mean, I could see a part of a food tour built around cheese.
Right. Oh, yeah. And I mean, I am still introducing people to brats that I get in Sheboygan. I mean, I ship them now to my family because they they now know that they can't do without them. So, I mean, but, you know, it's that kind of real, this is not just a package brought that you buy in a, you know, grocery store. These are the real deal coming out of a meat market, right? And we have game. And we have wonderful venison and all sorts of stuff. So,
well, let's take another call. And Jordan in West Bend, I think, is next. Jordan, hi. Thanks for calling.
Hi, Larry. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I called to share my experience about 12 years ago when I was in middle school. I was lucky enough to be part of a student ambassador program where I got to go over to Australia for a couple weeks. And while I was down there, at first, the first half week to a week, I was offered a few things like a barracuda. I was a little skeptical at first, but once we made it to the outback, we got to decide what we wanted to make, and we got to make it ourselves. So I made myself a kangaroo steak.
Ah.
Ever since that moment, every time I go anywhere where I travel, no matter where it is, I got to try the local cuisine. There is no greater satisfaction when traveling other than just getting some of the local culture in.
That's so fun, Jordan, because I had a very similar experience with my children and went to the Outback, and we were around a barbecue pit where everyone got to barbecue their own thing, and the most interesting thing was watching the different styles of barbecuing. So everybody, you know, from people from Japan had one style, the Australians had a different style, Americans different style. But I introduced my kids to kangaroo there and emu and some other things. And, yeah, they've been food explorers now ever since.
Jordan, thanks so much. Great story. Appreciate it. Rochelle in Princeton, it's your turn. Hi.
Hi. Can you hear me okay?
Yes.
Hi. I just wanted to tell a story of when I was in Italy, and we stayed at a farm that had olives and a vineyard. And chickens, and we got to help pick olives. Actually, we ended up there during olive picking season in November and got to tour the factory where they take their olives. It's a small factory where the farmers take their olives and see how they press them, and then they offered to make a meal with us, and we made homemade ravioli and tagliatelle, which is like our fettuccine, and used eggs from their farm. We had wine from their vineyard and fresh pressed olive oil from the week before. It was just a really, really great time. Probably the most memorable dinner I've ever had.
You're killing me, Rochelle. I'm very envious. Sounds wonderful, doesn't it, Liz?
It's absolutely wonderful. And I want to really say that Italy has done such a great job as a country promoting what you're calling is agriturismo. I'm probably not saying it correctly, but where they really combine stays with local farmers and food growers, and then you get that full experience and you meet a family too. So wonderful, wonderful trip.
Yeah, thank you so much. You did a nice job of painting that picture, Rochelle. Thank you very much. Well, Jeff in Superior has something for us. Let's go there. Hi, Jeff.
Yes, I've always been interested in American folklore. So when I travel the 50 states, I try to do my homework and see what's there. And like when I go to Northern Michigan, I got to try some pasties. I just drive through from town to town and try their pasties. There's so many different kinds. And when I go to Kentucky, I try things like burgoo, which is a local stew that they make there. And I've always loved going to big cities and trying things that they have, like in Chinatown, or if there's a like in Chicago, they have, you know, so many different ethnic groups. I try those experiences too. There's a lot to offer right here in our country.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you very much, Jeff. Comments, Liz?
Yeah, Jeff, I totally agree with you. I like to go that way as well. And you made me think about too that so many places in the country have a specific food item that's really associated with them. So Chicago, and they claim that as their own. And so it's really fun to find that local ingredient, that local food dish, whatever it is, and then give it a try. I mean, you're not going to like everything, but you'll like a lot of it.
You can call in with your experiences. Maybe you had a bad one, but maybe you've had some good ones too in your travels. As we talk food tourism with our guest today, Liz Wessel, she owns Green Concierge Travel, Wisconsin-based green-focused travel company. And how do you make your company green-focused? What do you...
Well, I think, you know, the whole part of what we're talking about, which is local culture, local food, authentic experience, it's respecting that. And so when you go to travel, you're respecting where you land and how they live. And part of that also, what we've been talking about, is keeping money in the local economy. So really supporting these people who are small businesses. They need your support. They want that. And the money stays there, basically. So that's part of it. Part of it also is the footprint that you bring on the local environment. Food and environment go hand in hand. Where the ingredients come from, how it's grown. So you can be thinking about all of that. And, you know, I think it's a lot of it is what you do here at home. If you're trying to minimize your footprint here, you can do that there. And I often recommend, especially where it's available, trying to get on mass transit or local buses. It's another way to see a local destination and experience it with local people. So you often get a different viewpoint instead of getting in a car and driving from A to B. If you can use that, you know, metro or whatever.
Do it.
I've got some people who are traveling to Vancouver, and they just have a little bit of time before they take off for something else. But I mapped out a whole itinerary for them using the metro from the airport into the city. So, like, here's places they could eat, here's places they could visit, and how they could get on and off this one transit line.
Wow. So is that something you regularly do, or you just do this for friends, or what?
Nope. That's the kind of stuff I love to do. Yep. I had a client who went around small, mid-sized cities in France, and we did the whole thing by train. So it was little train trips from A to B, and then when he got to the city, they were a lot
when
of them
got
were
to the
medieval.
B city.
A lot of them were medieval towns, but then he wanted to go to the opera as well. So very fun, you know, where you're linking all these things together.
Sam emailed to say that when in New York City, he approached locals and he said, if you're going to be here for just one breakfast or maybe one lunch or one dinner, depending on the time of day or whatever, and you wanted the best New York City breakfast, lunch or dinner, where would you go? So he mentioned that's how he would present it to some locals. And he was sent to the most wonderful off-the-beaten-path places that he would never have found on his own. So that goes back to what you were talking about a little bit earlier and some callers.
Right. I mean, that's just a great way to do it. And it reminded me of just, you know, asking those questions and getting sent. And in Hawaii, a lot of times the locals are a little reluctant to tell you some of the special places. But there are a few guidebooks that can help you out. And it's always great to get that first recommendation out of someone. So
as you travel around Wisconsin, for those of us who aren't going anywhere too far too soon, what are some places that you like to recommend to people?
Well, my first and favorite thing to do, and it's not just here in Wisconsin, but a lot of places, is I'll try, especially if it's nice weather, we'll go to the local farmer's market or the wharf, as it was in San Francisco, but is to buy some local food, check it out, put together a picnic. Mm-hmm. And then we'll find a local park that we can go to and explore that as well. So we like picnicking a lot. So that's one of my top favorite things to do. And Wisconsin's no different.
Except this time of the year, you're not going to be doing a lot.
We don't picnic in the winter, but...
What about this time of the year then?
Yeah, this time of the year, you know, I'm always looking at this time of the year for new restaurants and new places to go visit here in Wisconsin. So... and then, you know, once you do that, then it's, you know, you're into summer. So,
you know, I think you could do, and probably some people are doing it, but I think you could do a great tour of the new breweries that serve food, and you could go around the state on a brewery food tour, which I think could be fantastic.
Right. Right. Yeah, that's one of our favorite things to do is descend, you know, onto a brewery. For example, a nice trip is Potosi out on the Wisconsin River, and they do have a very nice selection of food out there, so always fun to go out there. The other thing that we have done, and I gifted my husband with a gift certificate to the Wisconsin Bed and Breakfast Association.
Ah.
So you can use it at any bed and breakfast in Wisconsin. And there's another great way to see a part of Wisconsin that's not in a city is to go find one of those places. And then the bed and breakfast host becomes your guide. And they literally can direct you to the best restaurants, the best places to see, the nicest parks, you know, trails, whatever you want to do.
And I have to tell you, I've had a lot of experience with bed and breakfasts here in Wisconsin, and pretty much, I can tell you, pretty much all over the state. And I have yet to have a bad meal at the bed and breakfast itself. Often it's a breakfast, but sometimes it's dinner as well.
Yeah, they really take pride, I think, in what they offer up to their clientele when they're coming in. And they make great adjustments if you have food allergies and things like that. So I just, it's really fun. It can be a fun experience.
I think some of the most memorable, certainly some of the most memorable breakfasts I've ever had has been at bed and breakfast right here in Wisconsin. So you go to the, and, you know, I encourage people to take a look at the bed and breakfast, Wisconsin Bed and Breakfast Association for, and, you know, if you're, you know, this time of the year, maybe you can't get away or can't get too far, you know, there's nothing wrong with driving 20 miles maybe or 30 miles or whatever or even less, maybe sometimes right in your own community. And spend an evening or a weekend at a bed and breakfast here, and just have a nice weekend.
Staycation.
that's what they call it.
Yeah, no, I totally agree, and good for romance, good for, you know, a good evening out with a friend. There are mystery nights, you know, at bed and breakfast where you can go in with two people, or you can book the entire place and they'll, you know, run a mystery program for you or a murder.
I love those. I love those. I was some friends went to one not too long, far back, and it was right here in Madison, and we had absolutely wonderful time at the hotel. Actually, it was the DoubleTree in Madison. They have often have a mystery tour. And in our case, there were several people we didn't know at the table with us, which made it as much fun. And none of us failed to recognize that the actual murderer was sitting immediately to my left, as a matter of fact. Liz, did you want to be, there was one more thing.
Yeah, there was one more thing. I was doing some reading, and there actually is now going to be a World Food Travel Day this year for the first time, April 18th. So, and they're encouraging people to get up on social media, write about your experiences. But I think the important thing here is we're supporting these local entrepreneurs who are doing something great for our economy.
And quickly, how do people find you online?
You can find me online at www.greenconciergetravel.com or just look me up and give me a call.
Green Concierge
Travel.com. Yep.
Probably the best way. Liz, thank you so much. Always fun to talk with you, and we'll do it again. Liz Wessel operates Green Concierge Travel, Wisconsin-based green-focused travel company. Great to have her along. Tomorrow, one of our bug guys, Phil Pelletieri, comes back to talk about bugs and talk about dormant oil and how it can help control insects. Stay with us. Lots in store.